We will call the Health and Human Service Committee to order. We do have a quorum, and it's only 8:16, folks. So congratulations, and thank you for being on time. I don't know if you're passive-aggressive about it yet this year. That's good. That's good. I like that. Before we get started, I know the agenda today should move pretty swiftly. I just wanted to get a few things rolling for committee, get them off of our plate, and also introduce the new staff that we have here and the new members that we have on the committee, because there were a few changes. To my right is our new CA, Mark Lalberry. So if you have questions about the committee, they will go to him. We have our new CLA, Kyrie Duckett. He's also going to be working hard with us this year. We have a new GOP researcher over here, Jeremiah Wingstead. If you haven't noticed, everybody left me this last year, and so we're all new. It's a great feeling. And I appreciate everyone who's still here with that. We do have a couple new members, too. Representative Halverson and Representative Munson will be joining us on the committee this year as well. So with that, Representative Tice moves approval of the minutes from May 10th. Are there any additions, corrections, or changes to be made to those minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. Before we get into the business, I'd like to remind members that we have copies of the rules placed in your folders for your convenience. No changes have been made since last session, but I'll take the opportunity to remind you that additional meetings may be scheduled at the call of the chair. Written materials intended to be presented by the committee must be provided by the committee to the committee administrator by 3 p.m. the day prior to committee hearing, and all substantial amendments should be given to the committee administrator in electronic format by 3 p.m. the day prior to the committee meeting. We will begin with the 4.20 rules. Pursuant to House 4.20, House File 944, House File 1134, and House File 1331 were returned to the Health and Human Service Reform Committee. The committee will not take public testimony or have discussion really on these bills, just to answer any questions that may have arisen or just remind members of what these bills were. They were on the General Register. They were referred back to committee, and now we're just going to move them back to the General Register, if that is the will of the committee. And from there, we will start with House File 1134, Representative Baker. All right. Okay. And as he makes his way forward, Representative Baker moves that House File 1134 be referred to the General Register. Members, we do have a technical oral amendment that the reviser's office sent down to us on this. I will move that House File 1134 be amended as follows. On page 1, line 7, to delete subdivision 4 and insert subdivision 5. This is to reflect a change in statute from last year, so that as this bill moves forward, it would still work with what we had from changes that were made in last year's legislation. Are there any questions on the oral amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, I will renew my motion to amend House File 1134 on page 1, line 7, to delete subdivision 4 and insert subdivision 5. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion is approved and the amendment is adopted. Representative Baker, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's great to be back to work on some really important issues this year. I think this is a minor bill that I would consider this when it comes to the fight on our opioid stuff that we'll see a lot more coming later this year. This was discussed here last year. I think the premise of the bill was really to say right now a pharmacist can prescribe up to seeing prescriptions that are up to 12 months old, and we want to shorten that down so that when a person comes in to try to get an opioid, they can only get one now that's really more current, more dated, more timely, because we are seeing some, obviously, diversion, some abuse, and some bad folks out there playing with these very powerful pharmaceutical heroin pills that are necessary for medicine. But we also want to make sure we are tightening the guardrails a little bit. So what my bill does and did last year was really just say that if a pharmacist sees a prescription that's more than 30 days old, he or she is not allowed to fill that without getting the doctors, redo that prescription. We don't want to see some that come in that are 6 months, 9 months old. We don't know if they're current. We don't know if they're still needed. And with today's opioid epidemic, we think that tightening things down a little bit is the right thing to do. So that's really the same genesis of the bill, Mr. Chair and members, and I'm here to take any questions.
Are there any questions for Representative Baker? Are there any questions? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Baker. So, this is just on the first time it's filled. It's not on refills, correct?
Representative Baker.
I believe that is correct. I think that, I don't know if anybody's here from the Board of Pharmacy to make sure that is accurate, but I think that is the way that is. But it's actually just if the prescription is more than 30 days old from when it was written is when it shouldn't be allowed to be used any longer. Correct.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So basically the change is if it's a year old versus it has.
Correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Representative Liebling.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I was just looking at the language, Representative Baker, and, you know, on the language on line 1.13 here, it is about, there is some refill language, and I was just kind of wondering about that myself. So no prescription drug order for an opioid drug listed in Schedules 3 through 5 may be refilled by pharmacist or other dispenser more than 30 days after the previous date on which it was dispensed. And I just wonder if that might have some unintended effect. I mean, I get the desire here to tighten down, and I completely agree with that. But I wonder if this doesn't push people to refill stuff before they otherwise might. I mean, if you know, you might wonder whether you need to refill it, and then you're going to have to do it before 30 days. Otherwise, you got to go back, I assume, and get a new prescription, which means another doctor visit, which means more expense. So I wonder if it might have the opposite. I just, you know, I know Representative Peterson, you have a lot more experience with this. I just like to kind of hear what people think about that.
Representative Baker.
And Mr. Chair, members, I think and I've thought about this too, because I think Representative Peterson beforehand has asked some good questions about what if somebody's on a vacation or there's a layover and maybe this should be 45 days and not just hard 30 days. I'm very open to this and looking at other options to make this bill better. I know that if this were to move forward, I think I would give it a deeper dive with our Board of Pharmacy and what they're seeing on the pharmacy dispensing side of things. So I'm open to open other conversations about this, about maybe loosening that up a little bit. I don't think Cody Weiberg is here from the Board of Pharmacy, and if he was, I'd ask him to step forward, but I don't think he is. Oh, we have somebody here.
So I'm not from the Board of Pharmacy, but I'm a practicing pharmacist.
Could you please
hold on.
Make
your
way down?
Hold on. Hi, Katie. No, right here.
Welcome
right here.
To the committee. If you could please state your name for the record and present your testimony. Help us out with this question.
Okay. So my name is Katie Kuski. I'm a practicing pharmacist, and I can just answer the question about the refill. Is that opioid prescriptions don't have refills, so there has to be a new prescription every time that it's filled anyway. Mm-hmm. And so there's no way to refill if it's written for a quantity of 30 and there's refills on it. A pharmacist who sees that, it's automatically voided. There are no refills available. So.
Representative Keel.
Could you come back, ma'am?
Once you sit at the table, you don't get to leave.
Especially when you're a practicing pharmacist. So my question is, the doctor gives you a 30-day prescription. You ask the pharmacy to just fill 5. You don't think you're going to need any more of that. 30 days are passed. Are getting close, can you pick up the rest of that prescription?
So the way the rules and laws are written right now, you cannot fill any that's remaining on that. So if you fill a Control 2 substance, you only can fill how much you're giving that day, and the rest is going to be voided the way that the law is written right now. There is there's a special exception. If you, as the pharmacy, didn't have enough tablets to fill it that day, you can order in the rest, but that's only if, like, you didn't have enough to fill it that day.
Representative Keel.
So my understanding is then that if I, say, had five pills and decided I needed some more within that 30 days, I would have to go back to my doctor and get a new prescription.
Correct.
Thank you.
That's the way it's already written.
Okay. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, ma'am. Yes. That was very, very helpful. Representative Baker, I wonder then if this language about the refill is confusing to put this in the law. I mean, I leave it to you whether you want to strike it or leave it, but obviously it confused us.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair and Representative Liebling, I think you asked a great question. There's a reason this bill probably didn't advance any further than the General Register last year, and I don't know that this is one of my highest priorities to make it more challenging now. But I think it's a good conversation to have with our members here to remind us what the current law is. And, again, our award-winning pharmacist that came down already, which is really helpful for her to explain that to us, reminds us how important it is to keep these things tight. So I don't know, how much more we'll be working on this bill, but I think it's important to just keep talking about this important issue, and we don't want to create more confusing laws for sure. So we've got some pretty good things in place now.
Representative Liebling?
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Baker. I'm not really sure what the answer is there. So you just want to put it on the General Register just to have it sit there and think about it some more? I mean, I don't know. Well, maybe you should leave it in committee to have us think about it some more rather than the General Register.
Representative Baker.
Mr. and Mr. Chair, I think I'd like to use this as a opportunity to make this bill better going forward. It is reasonable to make sure this these prescriptions are more clearly identified in current law. It was brought to me by the Board of Pharmacy. This is something that we should do. It was last year that was brought to me. But I think this is something that we could use still to clean up future language. I will continue to work on this maybe with you in the future, Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Well, it's unfortunate that, Representative Baker, you're doing a lot of great work on this, and I totally appreciate this. But since I've been in the House of Representatives, I've seen a change in our approach to procedure. I mean, the procedure used to actually mean something, where bills would actually be in committee and be worked on in committee and, where conference committees weren't there to insert a whole new bill and have it come back to the floor to not be amended, which is what's happening right now in other parts of our organization here. And, if we're serious about getting policy right, the procedure's there for a reason. It's there to make sure that a lot of eyes are on things. It's really unfortunate that Dr. Weiberg isn't here today to talk about this, but, I'm with you on the goals. I just think that we should use the procedure for what it's really for. And when we just move stuff to the floor, and it just means that fewer of us get to see it, which makes more room for mistakes, especially, in a bill like this that is in no way a partisan bill, I'm not comfortable with that.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was wondering if the pharmacist could come back down again because I had another question. And it's a question that I've asked a couple other representatives because the opioid issue is a crisis that we're all trying to work with. But what I don't know is this says an opioid drug listed on Schedules 3 through 5. And I'm wondering what drugs are listed on Schedules 3 through 5, if you know that answer.
That's a good question.
If you could please restate your name.
Katie Kuski. And so the opioids that we're all familiar with, oxycodone, hydromorphone, hydrocodone, those are all Control 2. And so a controlled substance that's a 3 through 5 would be like Zolpidem or
Tramadol.
Yes. Those agents are 3 through 5. So the actual term opioid is, in general, in the pharmacy world, a Control 2 substance, which is what doesn't have a refill. A Control 3, 4, 5 might be like Ambien, and that does have a refill. So that might clarify the way I answered.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's what I want.
And, Mr. Chair, if I could, I think Mr. Chana brought up my mistake earlier to make this why it sounds so confusing. This is really addressing the Schedule 3 through 3 and 4 drug schedules, right? Not Schedule 2. So if I could, Mr. Chair, ask Mr. Chun to kind of clarify that for everybody, that's why we're here today, and I'm sorry that I didn't pick that up earlier.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, just to clarify, in Minnesota law, Schedule 2 opioids cannot be refilled, so that's the first paragraph. Paragraph B deals with opioids in Schedules 3 to 5, and those can be refilled, and that's why there's language about the 30 days and the refill.
Thank you, Mr. Chung. Representative Kwom, no question. Are there any other questions for Representative Baker?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe Mr. Chung could answer this. So so there are opioid drugs that are in Schedule 3 through 5?
Mr. Chung.
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I think, you know, maybe sometimes terminology isn't always consistent, but I think, yes, they are opioids or opiates in Schedules 3 to 5 as well. I think it just depends on what people call things, and sometimes it's referred to a little bit differently.
Representative Liebling.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for Representative Baker about this bill? Any other questions? Any other questions? All right. With that, Representative Baker renews his motion that House File 1134, as amended, be referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails, and House File 1134, as amended, is re-referred to the General Register. Next, we have up House File 1331, Representative Zerwas. I will move that House File 1331 be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Zerwas, when you are ready, to your bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. As this bill was previously heard and referred to the General Register, I will be brief. House File 1331 is a bill working with mental health screening data from county jails under existing law. The sheriff's office jail intake procedure is required to conduct a mental health screening. House File 1331 identifies county inmates that are flagged with potential mental health issues and connects them with county social service workers for voluntary follow-up services through the county social service system.
All right. Thank you, Representative Zerwas. Are there questions from members for House File 1331? Representative Liebling.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I guess while everybody else wakes up, I have to ask the question.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Yeah. I remember this bill from last year, Representative Zerwas, and I remember there was a lot of work done on it. And could you just, is there anybody opposed to it at this point that you're aware of?
Representative Zerwas.
Mr. Chair, members, I think the Citizens Council for Health Freedom still has some concerns around if the screening procedure and the participation is voluntary for the inmates. And the reality is when you end up in a county facility, in a correctional facility, there isn't much that's voluntary. And so inmates upon intake are screened, and this bill would allow that information and the results of that screening to be passed on to county social services. At that point, Representative Liebling, upon discharge from the county facility, if a caseworker were to follow up with a patient and offer further assistance or services, the individual at that point would, of course, have the ability to decline those further social services.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Zerwas. And I kind of remember that some of the issues were really around the data and what do they do with, you know, you're reporting some that to the county that somebody might have a mental illness. And then could you just remind me, what does the county do with the data at that point? Do they get rid of it after the they're done screening that person or talking to that person?
Yeah, so it allows names. It allows names of inmates identified as potentially having a mental illness to be shared with social service mental health workers. It allows the jail to refer an inmate upon discharge to county personnel in the welfare system to assist with coordinating access to service, including applying for MA, obtaining a photo ID, obtaining necessary prescriptions for prescription drug continuity, obtaining appropriate counseling or mental health or behavioral services in the future. And it also provides for the continued protection of Tennyson and consent rights provided within HIPAA and the Minnesota Health Records Act. So there is built-in protection for that data.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions for Representative Zerwas? Any other questions? Any other questions? All right. With that, Representative Zerwas, I will renew my motion that House File 1331 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. House File 1331 is re-referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Finally, today, House File 944, Representative Dean. Representative Dean moves that House File 944 be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Dean, when you are ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Welcome back. Apologize for missing the first portion of the meeting. Welcome, Representative Munson, to Health and Human Services. This is another bill that was on the General Register. We now find it back in our committee. We're going to move it back. This is a technical bill amending our SNAP program, and it's just updates terminology to move from the use of the term food stamps to SNAP, which is the correct designation. No opposition, technical bill. So we're just putting it back where it was in March.
Thank you, Representative Dean. Are there any questions for Representative Dean? Any questions? Seeing none, with that, Representative Dean renews his motion that House File 944 be referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails, and House File 944 is referred to the General Register. With that, members, thank you very much for your time this morning. We will get into other bills hot and heavy next week, as well as subcommittees will start next Wednesday. As it is right now, we presume that they will have about four hearings coming up, and as soon as we get deadlines, we will get the rest of that figured out and out to you so you can plan accordingly. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you reminding everyone subcommittees start next week, and we want to be in attendance early because we've got a lot to do in aging and long-term care, and like you noted, we will only have four committee hearings, so a lot of people to hear from, and we need to work fast and furious.
Thank you, Representative Keel. I'm sure Representative Franzen would make the similar remarks if she were actually here. With that, members, we are adjourned.